Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be speaking from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 38, with a message entitled, The Son of God. Father, bless your word, we pray, and strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise a song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
We are opening our Bibles once again, and we are beginning a five-part study on what child is this. As we come to the conclusion of the year, of course, Christmas is very much on our thoughts. I want us to investigate who Jesus Christ is in his person and in his coming. This is leading us toward another set of messages, which I anticipate in the new year, and that theme comes out of what man is this. For instance, in Luke chapter 8 and verses 22 to 25, we read, Now on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep. And a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. They came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, Where is your faith? And they were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, Hear this. Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him? Other translations read, What manner of man is this? Who is this that has come among us? It's remarkable that the disciples at this point, they had already heard Jesus speak, and they had seen how the crowds were amazed at the authority of Jesus Christ. They had seen him work various miracles to this point. However, here was something that especially caught their attention that not simply were physical healings of bodies that were afflicted in various ways were made whole, but even the wind and the waves, they obeyed the voice of Jesus Christ. It's good for us to consider exactly who Jesus Christ is. But first of all, as I began saying, I want to consider the previous theme of what child is this taking today and another four studies for this theme before us. Before we ask and dig deep into the answers pertaining to the person and work of the God-man Jesus Christ, let us first begin with what child is this that is before us. And I take you to Luke chapter 2 and verses 17 and 18 as the beginning of this theme. We have the shepherds who have heard the angels speak of what is taking place just very close to them in Bethlehem. The shepherds on the fields round about Bethlehem, but they are told of great things, good news, glad tidings, which have taken place in the little town of Bethlehem. Not a large place even today, but most especially not a large place or a center of activity 2,000 years ago. The shepherds come with great haste to Bethlehem upon hearing the word. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. They come to Mary and Joseph. They come, they witness Jesus Christ lying there in the manger, and they make known to all about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary herself, she treasured these things in her heart. And so, just as the ancient Christmas carol, the old Christmas carol, "What Child Is This?" asks the question, we want to also ask that very same question. First of all, we come and we understand that this child is the Son of God who has come in the power of God. Before Bethlehem, we have Luke also give us background material. Matthew and Mark and John, they do not give us this, but Luke, being the physician, being a medical man, and also the only Gentile writer of a New Testament book, he digs a little bit deeper and he gives us some vital background through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it is before us today, Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to begin with verse 5, and we will pursue this down to verse 38. Keep your Bible open as we consider. We first of all read of the coming of John the Baptist, and then the visit of the angel also to Mary in Nazareth. Two individuals who will so fulfill the power of God in the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. At the outset, we have echoes of Abraham and Sarah. The couple through whom a promise was fulfilled. Over long centuries, the Jews had longed for the coming of Messiah, the one who would free them, who would be their liberator, who would be their redeemer. Here, in echoes of Abraham and Sarah, who were advanced in years and who had never had a son, we have also this righteous couple who were walking in the ways of God, who were pleasing to the Lord. They are also given a promise. Now it happened that while he, Zacharias, was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. Why would it not? Here was something completely out of the ordinary, and he wonders whether this angel brings a word of judgment. However, it was not so. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias. There is going to be glad news. There is going to be good news rather than news of heavy judgment. Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John," which means gift of God. I wonder if Zacharias was trying to scroll back in his mind, thinking, when did I last ask of the Lord for a son? Perhaps it had been months, years, maybe even because of their advanced age. Maybe that was a prayer that Zacharias had last prayed a decade or more ago. But that prayer was still before the Lord. The Lord remembered that request. And here is the angel to say to him, "Your petition, that one that you brought before the Lord in humble prayer, God does not forget. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will call his name Gift of God," John, that is. "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God." And hear this next verse, verse 17. "It is he who will go as a forerunner before him," before Messiah, "in the spirit and power of Elijah," and prophesying out of Malachi, "to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Jesus, the Son of God, he would come in the power of God. And here was the forerunner who had been prophesied in the Old Testament, who would come to make the way ready for the Son of God. John, if we were to put it in our terms, many times when a great individual comes to a particular place, there is an advance man or an advance party who goes to make all of the necessary preparations. John, he was heaven's advance man to come in the power of God also. And there were certain preparations that needed to be made, and so the angel Gabriel is sent. But Zacharias, he is having difficulty absorbing all of this and taking it all in. It is so much. We read, Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Zacharias, he was saying, "Hold it. I'm not sure that this is possible anymore. It might have been possible 10 or 20 or 30 years ago, most certainly. But now, now?" The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God." Here was God's emissary to Zacharias that these things would surely take place. "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring this good news, you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time," in the time of a pregnancy to come upon Elizabeth, and for her to bear you the son, who you will name John. The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." John the Baptist, he would come in the specific plan of God. John did not take upon himself the role of one day, "Look, I'm going to go and become a preacher down at the Jordan River, and I'm going to baptize people, and I'm going to blaze away." It was not John's idea. It was the plan of God being worked out in advance of the Son of God coming in the power of God. And now we read, after 5 months of Elizabeth being in seclusion, we now read about what took place in the 6th month after that appearance of Gabriel to Zacharias in the temple. Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." In Matthew reminds us of Isaiah's prophecy that he, Jesus, Messiah, would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Here, as Gabriel comes in before Mary there in Nazareth, he says, "Hail, favored one. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." He is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. Just as with Zacharias, Mary, she is perplexed at this statement and this greeting and wondered what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." There it is repeated once again as an emphasis that she understand this is not a judgment upon her, but rather there is something that God is working out and that He is going to advance and accomplish. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus," the name which means salvation, which is derived from the Hebrew word Joshua. Jesus, you shall call his name Jesus. What will he be like? The angel says he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will be of royal lineage. He will be the fulfillment of God's promise to David that, "David, you will never lack a man to sit upon your throne." David had many who came after him. Some were righteous, some were wicked. But here is the one who shall sit upon David's throne through all eternity. He is the royal one. The one who will sit upon David's throne. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary, she has a question for the angel. "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" Here is the answer. The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she, who was called barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary, she says to the angel, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Who is Jesus? We first of all come and we lay it plainly before us all that Jesus is the Son of God who has come in the power of God. Here in this passage which I have just read to you, we have first of all the angel saying to Mary in verse 32, "He will be great." It's not simply that he will be great in the future, but he has been great in eternity past. He is great, and therefore he will simply follow through on that. And in this world and in eternity to come, he will be great, for he is the very Son of God. In John chapter 1, and beginning right at verse 1, John, as he picked up pen to account for the life of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice upon Calvary, he begins with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was specifically speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in eternity past, it was He through whom this world was created, and He was God Himself. He was with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was the Son of the Most High. And we also hear the angel say that the power of the Most High would be the means by which Jesus would come into this world. He would be born of a virgin, and thereby he would be sinless. All of us who have been otherwise born into this world, we have the taint of sin upon us. We have sin that is ingrained in every fiber of our being. But Jesus, He would be the sinless one among us. He would be that spotless Lamb, God's Lamb, who would come to be our sacrifice. Jesus, I would hold Him before You. What child is this? This is like no other. This is not a child who has come about by the natural process of a man and a woman in union with one another, bearing a child. This is the Son of God who has come in fulfillment of the ancient prophecies, and He has come in the power of God to accomplish the plan of God. Do you know Him? Do you know this second person of the Trinity, who is God Himself? He has come that we might know life. He has come through the fulfillment of prophecy and in the most miraculous way. He has come because of our need, not because of His need. Would you know Him and would you rejoice in Him this Christmas season? Lord, we give You thanks for Your word, which plainly declares to us who Jesus Christ is. And I ask that this realization would so imprint itself by the Spirit of God upon our hearts. Lord, even as You, the Son of the Most High, God Himself, came in the power of the Most High, the Son of God coming in the power of God. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would even now speak to hearts and lives who have previously heard the message of Christmas many times, but yet unaffected, unchanged, uncaring, going about other business. Lord, I pray that this would be a season of the most radical change in hearts and lives, that men and women would come to know You, who to know is life everlasting. And so may there be joy in hearts and joy at the news of Your coming and joy in the anticipation of Your coming again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Hearts to Believe. For over 20 years, Jonathan Kvist has been the bass in our men's quartet and has also been a rich blessing through his solo work. We are delighted to announce a new collection of 13 songs Jonathan has especially enjoyed singing and has himself chosen for this CD called Blessed Assurance. You will enjoy hearing Jonathan sing I'd Rather Have Jesus in the sweet By and By, Just a Whispered Prayer, I Need Thee Every Hour, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Leave Your Heavy Burden at the Cross, Something Beautiful, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, Written in Red, What a Day That Will Be, The Old Rugged Cross in both Russian and English, Someone Is Praying for You, and of course the title song, Blessed Assurance. Ask for your free copy of Blessed Assurance when you write this week to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C2H6. Or call us toll-free at 1-833-367-3852. Also, please ask for our free calendar for the coming year filled with beautiful scripture and pictures. Hearts to Believe is an extension of the Faith to Live By radio and television ministry based in Winnipeg with Pastor Jim Barber. We leave you now with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.